Good morning and welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome any visitors to in Jesus' precious name. Just a couple of things as we begin. When we look at summer mission, start with the fun day yesterday. Over 150 children and approximately 100 adults there. Great night, a great day rather. The favourites were the bouncy castle, the face paints and the barbecue. And can I tell you, I avoided all three. Especially the barbecue. So that's yesterday. A lot of folk helped out with that. That was good. But of course, as of tomorrow, we start with the Polar Explorers. Primary 2 to 7, Monday to Thursday, 11 o'clock to 1:30 in the High Kirk Hall. Youth nights are on Tuesday, Thursday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. in Ardeer Hall for primary 6 to S4s. And then on Saturday 29th, here in Livingston Church is Messy Church, 12 to 2. And the prayer walk on the 30th, Sunday the 30th, starting St John's Church at 2:30 and finishing at Ardeer for tea and coffee and cake. And everyone is welcome. Reminder too that on Sunday morning our worship will be here and a joint service with Ardeer at 10:30. So it's here at 10:30 and it will be a joint service where we look at what's gone on during the week and get a share of what's gone on so that we can give thanks properly, and also in other preparations we can pray. So please do remember all the arrangements for your own prayer to help support all this children's and youth work that's going on. And remember too that as we reach out to children and youth, there's also that chance of reaching out to parents as well. So please do remember that. So a call to worship. First and last, before and behind, east and west, God of all that is and all that shall ever be, we cannot properly tell of your greatness. God of this present moment in our time, yet holding all of time before you in ways which are beyond us to grasp, we gladly come to worship. God in Jesus, walking dusty roads, washing tired feet, feeding hungry minds, and not forgetting empty stomachs, we come to worship. We come to rejoice. And we come to grow in your word. We come in awe and wonder that all that you might give us, and we come to offer you glory through Christ. Amen. Make way for Christ the King. Let's stand to worship.
Thank you.
Be rooted in Christ, be built in him. Grow strong in the faith. Let your hearts overflow with thankfulness. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us pure hearts and constant wills to worship you in spirit and in truth through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. Some of the more senior children of the congregation might remember Ricky Fulton and the Reverend I Am Jolly. How's your day been? And that happiness and that joy that he would show. But you know, we sometimes act like that, you know. How are things? Oh, fine. You know, but it's about sharing what we're happy with and what we're maybe not so happy with. But you know, the psalmist for the psalm today says, when they said, let's go up to the house of the Lord, my heart leapt for joy. So hands up who leapt for joy as they came to church. That wasn't a joke. But you know, that's what we're called to do. We're called, and I'll speak later, but that thing about glorifying God and enjoying him forever. But you know, there's things that make us happy, and I wonder if somebody can tell us what made us happy. Maybe there was somebody on holiday last week, or yeah? You went where? To Arran. Marvellous. You had a great time. Did it rain? Sorry? Really, melt. I kind of think that we know that day. So you were happy? Not sad. No, not sad, but you're happy. Fantastic. Isn't it good that we can be happy and not always sad? Sort of things makes you happy. The minister no asking me anything, clearly. Eh? But we all have these things that make us happy. And we do sometimes get these things that give us a wee bit of sadness or downness. But you know, for me, one of the great things about God is his promise. His promise to us is even when we're a bit down, we can still be joyful in our hearts because we have Christ Jesus. So when we get just a wee bit of down, we need to remember that God is there for us and with us, because he says that. He says that. Even to the end of the age, I will be with you. So the promise from God is that if we follow Jesus, if we love Jesus, we have the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, and always God is with us, so that we can not necessarily always be happy on the outside, but we should be able to rejoice with God that he is with us. And that's that whole thing about the psalmist saying, when they said, let's go up to the house of the Lord, my heart leapt with joy. Let's just pray for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you are you. And you give us so much. You love us. Even long before that we ever loved you. And you gave us Jesus. So in all the good times and all the bad times and the sad times, Lord, remind us that we can still have joy in our hearts because we know that we're loved by you, your Son, and given your Holy Spirit. So hear us together as we pray together, using the words of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we had great fun last week because we learnt a second song. So I did say if we get this one right, we could maybe do it a second time and do a wee dance right through. Let's sing together that song, Jehovah Jireh. Young people are going through to the... Oh, yeah. Just a wee prompt. You're welcome to stay. You can stay the whole service and you can listen to the sermon. Let's join our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, so often you remind us that you are the healer, the shepherd, the creator, that you are our righteousness. And as we remember those, we come and worship you. We come to worship you because you love us first. And our worship, our love for you is our response to all that you have done. And as you created us, you redeemed us, you provide for us, and you continue to do so, Lord, I just be in amazement and awe that you would be mindful of us. And so we come to glorify your name. We come to enjoy you forever. We come in our lifelong relationship with you. But as we come knowing that we are of this earth, this world, and there's things that we do that we shouldn't do, things that we say we shouldn't say, and there's things that we should be saying, we should be doing. So we confess when we stray from your word. We confess to you when what we've said or done falls short of your word to us. But it's in again that we come to you, knowing that having confessed these things, you by your Spirit and through the death and resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, you have forgiven us, that you bought our forgiveness through Jesus. And so by your Spirit now, enable us to know that freedom from being of the world to being with you. Enable us to know that freedom that forgiveness brings, where we can soar like eagles with you. And enable us, Lord, to share all that with those around us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. Let's stand to sing together. Let's worship him.
The reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 122. I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this reading from his word.
Thanks, Andy. As we come to our prayers for others, as usual, there's the prayers that are on the prayer tree, and again, there's always that opportunity to add to them. Just prayers that are on your hearts and your minds, and you don't have to identify individuals. It can be pray for someone who, or just pray for and put their initials in. But all these prayers that are there on the prayer tree, we take together and share with God now. Like the things of joy, there is, of course, God's faithfulness is always his living word poured out to us in scripture and through worship, and the joyfulness that we know in knowing him. From the presbytery, from Adrossan Presbytery, parishes of Kilmore, linked with Lamlash and Aaron, and the Reverend Lily McKinnon, and also Church and Society Committee, the Reverend Roddy MacDonald, who's the convener. And nationally, thinking of Crossreach, Threshold Edinburgh, the group who are providing housing support to adults with learning disabilities. And again, nationally, to think about the committee that have been drawn together from the last General Assembly, who are to nominate the next moderator of the General Assembly. They will be looking, I think are looking now, for nominations, and it's open to the church to nominate people. There are guidelines who can and cannot be the moderator, but it's open for people just to nominate, and this committee will go through all the nominations. So we pray for them as they begin the deliberations for the person who will become moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland next May. And I suppose it would make sense as well, when I'm saying that, just to continue to pray for the current moderator, Derek Browning. Things of concern, struck me this morning just looking at the paper and looking at the news online, that this whole thing around Charlie Gard at the Great Ormond Street Hospital. Charlie, for some who don't know, born last August with a terminal condition. And the parents have been through the courts. The doctors now think it's time just to end life and switch off the machines. And the parents want to continue trying to find a treatment or a cure, and there's possibly something in America. And there's all that stuff going on. Well, in and amongst all that stuff that's happening, there are people being abused and being sent death threats. Staff at the hospital, Charlie's parents, people who are visiting the hospital are getting abuse. Surely in the age that we live in, we're beyond that. When in fact we seem to be going further and further into it. So let's just remember all that in prayer and pray for God's peace and his mercy, and that we see an end of abuse like that. There is, as always, the tensions and the conflicts in the world, looking at the actions of ISIS and Taliban, just to name two. So as we bring our prayers together, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we pray, we bow before you It's almost like we cry out to you. This world seems such a destructive place, not only in terms of violence and but in the level of abuse that people seem to be quite happy to share. Lord, it seems that the whole thing of loving our neighbour is far, far away. So as we pray, may we remember your commands to love you as our Lord, our God, with all our heart and all our strength and all our mind and all our soul, but to love our neighbour as ourselves. May we be able to share your love. So instead of abuse and discouragement would come affirmation and encouragement. Father, we share the despairs of this world. When we see innocent people dying through lack of fresh water. We see people dying because of malnourishment when there's so much in the world. Lord, we pray for this area that you've put us into. That you've called us to this town. We pray and give you thanks for the summer mission. We will see such a response from all sorts of families coming to hear about you. So as we pray, we give you thanks for all those who've been involved in the planning and the doing. And we pray, Lord, that during this week that you would hold them at all times just in the palm of your hands. That we give them strength towards the end of the week. And that as we approach each thing, we might rejoice, for we're going to the house of the Lord. Father, we pray for each one here, those who are on our left, those who are on our right, those who are seated above us and those who are seated below us. We pray for those who are a different part of this building. And we pray for those who are not here, for whatever reason. But as we pray, we would pray, Lord, that you would touch each one at the point of their need. And in a moment of silence, we bring to you our own prayers. Prayers of those whom we love, of whom we struggle to love. Prayers for family and friends. Lord of all the living, remember all whom we remember, and forget none whom we forget, and hear this prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Son. Amen. Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be. Let's join together in prayer again. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come to you, let us be yours and yours alone. May my will forever be your own. Lord, by your Spirit present with us now, enter us and fill us and help us understand your ways, that being your disciples we may follow you. We'll walk with you, talk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. People have said you don't need to go to church to worship. People have said, I don't need to go to church to be Christian. People make up all sorts of excuses not to come. Aye, the church is full of hypocrites, you know. As someone said, well, why don't you join us and there'll be one more? Aye, you see, I like my long lie on a Sunday morning. Well, says the minister, so do I, but I just don't get it. There's lots of reasons why people will put up about not going to church, why they don't want to go to church. And I have to say that I have my own wee collection from years ago. And I also had a wee collection of reasons or excuses to go to church. Maureen was the church attender, not me. Maureen took Ross to church. I just sat back and then one morning said, you know, I think it'll be a very good family thing if we all go to church together when I'm on weekend off. I had worked out, of course, you could get breakfast after church. You know, after church round to Tesco's, or as it was at the time, Willie Lowe's in Dundee, and round and have breakfast. But you know, we all work out these different reasons, and that's not the way this psalmist is going. But we have to remember as well that there's many, many reasons for not going to church. There are many people who have decided to go to worship faithfully and devoutly. And this worship is an important act in the life of discipleship. We're looking at this song of ascent, Psalm 122, a song of those who have decided to go to church and to worship God. In Psalm 120, we looked at repentance, moving out of place of deceit and hostility and on our way to God. Last week, 121, it was about providence, trusting that God will guard us from all evil. And today, now, we're looking at worship, a demonstration of what the people of God everywhere always do, gather together in an assigned place and worship their God. And whatever happens in and amongst that, one of the things we need to realize is that worship is not forced. Certainly there will be people who are maybe made to come to church. The young child, it'll do you good. The husband whose wife turned around and said, you're coming with me to church this morning. There's that kind of forced element within it. But actually when somebody comes into the church, they'll either worship or they're not. Can't be forced to worship. And we actually need to remember too that a lot of this is caught up in the whole thing about believing, belonging, behaving. Do we believe in God first so that we behave in a particular way and belong to the church? Or do we come to the church, behave in a particular way to belong and then believe? Or what other combination there is of that? But worship itself is not forced. We choose to come to worship. And as the psalmist said there, in this reading, he said, this reading, he says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But in other versions it says, when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord, my heart leapt for joy. And so here we come into that point of what worship is about. It's actually at the beginning, knowing the joy of God within us. And worship for me, and this is following that Eugene Peterson book, Long Obedience, in the same direction. Worship gives us three main things. It gives us a workable structure for life. And many times we've talked about or heard talk about work-life balance. You know, we're getting about your work and your life in balance for a healthier, longer living in general. But you need the work in your life in balance. Well, what about our worship and life in balance? It's just a wee thought for the future. I'm just going to hang that there and leave it. What about worship, life, balance? Okay, so what about this workable structure for life? Jerusalem, described in the psalm as the well-built city. It's the place of worship. It's the centre, the commerce centre. It's the centre of everything else, but it's also the place of worship to which all tribes ascend. All tribes, the 12 tribes ascend. And again, Jerusalem is built high on the hill, and so they have to ascend to Jerusalem, have to climb that hill. That's that about the anticipation of getting to the place. As you approach the place and you know what's going to happen, kind of, and you get that sense of anticipation and that joy, this is going to be great. Imagine these people, all these tribes walking up there, looking at that. That was a place where they came to at least three times a year with all these festivals. But the tribes and all the people would come at least three times a year. In that place, everything God said was remembered and celebrated. This is what they all came for, is to hear and to share in the Word of God. And the three great foundational realities of then and now. God created you, God redeemed you, and God provided for you. Eugene Peterson says this, in Jerusalem you saw in ritual and heard proclaimed in preaching the powerful history-shaping truth that God forgives our sins and makes it possible to live without guilt and with purpose. So here's this place where the people would go and hear and be restored, knowing that God had created them, God redeemed them, that God provided for them, and that God forgave their sins. And they could live without guilt, but with purpose. One of the things about that purpose for me is the first question of the Shorter Catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith. The question is this: what's the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Our purpose is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And the Westminster Confession of Faith provides texts to back up that answer. So they're there. But first of all, we have that structure now about going to the place to hear of God and remember the realities, the foundational realities, but also that we can live without guilt and have a purpose. So the second thing is this, that worship nurtures our need to be in relationship with God. That's our purpose, and the worship nurtures that. That's all about glorifying God and enjoying Him forever, is that relationship with Him And therefore, that purpose there and worship nurtures that need, that purpose. And you know, it's a command. Nowhere in the Bible God says, if you feel like it, you might want to love me. Nowhere says that. What we have is the command, and we see it in Deuteronomy, we see it in the Ten Commandments, we see it in the Gospel where Jesus is confronted by the lawyer to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. First commandment. And the second, says Jesus, to love your neighbour as yourself. So there's the start of this nurturing, this relationship thing. We need to love God. A commandment is to love him, to turn to him. And you know, in that relationship we have with him, sometimes it feels, in the hard things, sometimes it can feel they're being left abandoned. But with God, he's not like that. He enters into our trouble and saves us. So here we are, we're a group of people who are to worship God. And St. Augustine says that the Christian should be like an alleluia from head to foot. That praising all the time, alleluia, that praising. And again, this is about that reality, that foundational reality. God created you, God redeemed you, and God provided for you. And even in that relationship with God, do we sometimes say, I don't feel like going to church today? And one of the things that Eugene Peterson points out is that we worship because we want to, not because we're forced to. And he says, it's not right to say that we worship because we feel like it. He points out that feelings are great liars. That feelings are important in many areas of life, but are completely unreliable in matters of faith. We live now in an age of sensation, where if we feel something, it must be right, and we can go and do it. We live in an age of sensation, where if we don't feel something, then there can't be an authenticity in doing it. But the wisdom of God is this: we can act ourselves. We can act ourselves into a new way of feeling, much quicker than we can feel ourselves into a new way of acting. Worship is an act that develops feelings, not a feeling. Develops feelings for God, not a feeling for God that is expressed in an act of worship. So we come to worship and we do. It's not about what we feel, it's about our command and our nurturing. So worship gives us a workable structure for life. It nurtures our need to be in relationship with God, and it centers our attention on the decisions of God. Because when we worship, we're focused on his decisions. What are his decisions? Decisions are contained in the Word of God. At verse 4 and 5, it says this. That's where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to the Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. So judgment here isn't that legal sense where somebody is convicted for doing something wrong or is released because it's not been proven. It's not about being sentenced or punished. Justice here is that word by which God straightens things out. God puts things right. So it's a word about, it's not a word about things, but it's a word that does. Putting love in motion, applying mercy, nullifying wrong, ordering goodness. as we come to worship, within that kind of judgment and all these decisions of God, we are soaked in the Word of God through our hymns, through our prayers, through our readings, through our addresses, our sermons. And all this has been said to our ancestors, for the Word of God has lasted. So when we worship, we're focused on the decisions of God. We're informed and refreshed with the judgments of God. We're familiarized with what God says and what he has described the ways in which he's working out our salvation. Our salvation has nothing to do with us and everything to do with God. And it brings us back to these realities again. God created you. God redeemed you. God provided for you. That last part of the psalm, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. That last part there is all about peace and security. Peace and prosperity in that relationship with God that comes through worship. Shalom, peace. That in all things we can have that peace, that shalom with God. And the other word that's used there is shalva, for prosperity. And both words, again, the way the Hebrew language played itself in kind of puns and sounds like, but the word for Jerusalem is Jerusalem. And in that you can see the shalom and the shalva. But it's peace, shalom, shalva, prosperity. But not in that prosperity of being rich and having lots of money or being really wealthy, not that, but a leisure, a prosperity of leisure with God, of being with God. That life is rich in our faith, and that brings our joy. So we worship together, we learn, we grow, we develop. But we worship together to give thanks, to praise Him, to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. And what a privilege that we have, that we can come together week by week and share God's word. That we can look at worship as a way of structuring our lives. That we can be nurtured in our relationship with God. And that we can have our attention on His decisions, on His word. Worship together is important. For we are all together soaking in the word of God. We're all together sharing. Doesn't diminish anything that we've done at home or any Bible study or house group or anything, but being together that once a week is a time where we can all build up together and share. And so I suppose the exercise is, as we approach worship, let's remember the joy of God and the joy of being with God and in God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your ways, and we praise you that you are our God, and ask your Spirit be present and just speak to us now in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And we continue with our offering. Pray. Father, as we worship you and praise you and glorify you, we make this our offering, a token of all that you've given to us, we give back to you. And Father, as we pray that your kingdom would be built in this place, that we would know your love and your grace and your mercy. We also pray, Lord, that you would use us as we dedicate ourselves to you again, that you would use us to share your word and your love with the people around us. For your glory, in Jesus' precious name, amen. And we sing together, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. This is my story, this is my song. Now go to love and to serve the Lord, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you and all whom you love, now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore.